This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bisexual.
Hey there, it's Jace, head of Joy Production.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass
on Joy 94.9.
That's right. You are here on Triple Bypass at Joy 94.9. We're here to put the B in LGBT on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm James.
And we have a guest tonight. James, please do the honours.
Oh, we have a wonderful guest. This is somebody
Can I do it?
Do you want to do your
own? You can't introduce yourself.
I can. I'm Jason and I'm the I in LGBT.
I.
And the B. You're B-I. You're
actually bi.
You're bi.
You are bi.
The real bi. Well, thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight, Jason.
That's
so,
all right.
Yes, as you were saying, you're both bisexual and intersex.
Yes.
B-I. I like that.
So we're going to hear...
Often forgotten.
We're not tonight, though. Not tonight. And we have some things in common because we know the B are often forgotten. But I think the I are forgotten even more so. Even sort of... I feel like they're even sort of almost pushed out of the way, it kind of feels like. So it's going to be great to hear some of your experiences about how you sort of
how you deal with the double-fold invisibility.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
It's going to be an interesting show, guys. So listen in. So I suppose, like, so to start off, so James and Jason, so are you also part of the Bi Alliance? Is that
I certainly am. I'm one of the, what am I, a committee member?
You're a committee member the Bisexual Alliance of Victoria. Mm.
I often forget that I'm a committee member and
very new,
I get
very
reminded.
New and shiny.
Don't worry, that shine will rub off soon enough.
And I know you've done a lot of great work with Vic Bears, reminding people that bears come in all shapes and sizes.
They do, and a lot of packages.
And you were just up, you were in Sydney for Mardi Gras as well,
I
right?
was.
We were looking at some very nice photographs. Good face paint with the bi-colours.
Yes, it was fantastic with the Institute of Many, which is a group for HIV-positive folk and their allies when we go beyond stigma. So that's just another pie that I've got my finger in.
Many pies, many fingers, many pies.
Jason, by heart.
You guys can't see, but he is giving us jazz hands. If you'd like to hear more about Mardi Gras or jazz hands, you can message us on 0427JOY949. Email us at onair@joy.org.au. Check out our Facebook page at Triple Bypass on Joy. Use the app, which is Joy94.9, available on iTunes.
And you can tweet us as well at Triple Bypass.
Yeah, we were the first ones in for that one, which is nice. So no surgeon got there first. That's all us. No medical professionals here.
So we are post Mardi Gras 2017. Did you just watch it? Did you listen to it on Joy?
No, I was in it.
You were in it? Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You weren't listening to it while you were in it? You didn't have it?
No, I couldn't even hear you.
Have the noise-canceling headphones on.
I couldn't even hear Dean Arcuri, so it's like... And normally you can hear him over a crowd.
Sorry, Dean.
I guess, like, you know, I feel that given Mardi Gras has particularly specified that they are the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras, I personally have to admit that does cause quite a barrier to me in feeling like it is an event that I am a part of or should be a part of or want to be a part of. So I watched a bit about the Sister Girls and I was really glad to see the Coorie Grass participation and the showcase that they did. But yeah, that was about the extent of it. And that might be a little petty of me, I understand.
I don't think so. I had the same feeling. Like I watched the Mardi Gras with great pride and a sense of celebration. And I did kind of, I was waiting for something bisexual sort of connected to sort of march on by, and I guess I saw the Poof Doof bus and I got excited. I thought, sweet, I can relate to this. Yes, here come my people. The bees must be right behind this bus. And very, very sort of little representation of bisexuality.
Sadly, we can blame that certain TV station for not actually showing the bi people that were actually in the parade because they were the biplanes.
Were they in the parade or were they above the parade?
No, they were part of the parade and they were...
Were they just taxiing along?
I snorted. No, they were there. In fact, I decided to do some runways with them, which was a lot of fun. And they were like, oh, my God, I can see you're flagging the bicolours. And when we were getting all made up, I said to one of the guys with the Tim group, I went, look at me, I'm flagging my bicolours. And then his girlfriend hugged me and went, oh, my God, my boyfriend's bi as well, and we're all marching together. I was like, this is all good. Yeah. And then he gave me a lot of vodka, and, well, the rest is downhill from there. I wasn't allowed to fly out.
Then you
climbed
onto the Poof Doof Pass, didn't you?
That's not what I climbed onto.
So obviously there are a lot of bi people who still do go to Mardi Gras and take part in the celebration, even if there was the conscious decision to make the title of the official Mardi Gras title quite an air of exclusivity, just concentrating on gay and lesbian, which, mm-hmm. you know, does seem to not really be the theme of what Mardi Gras is trying to be.
And it wasn't that long ago that bisexuals were having to fight to be allowed to march in Mardi Gras. This is only, I don't know, a decade ago? It really wasn't that long ago that people that I know, like actual friends of mine, were up in Sydney and they were having to have, you know, anxious phone calls with people who and they were saying, hey, it's the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras. It doesn't say anything about bisexuality in the name. So when people say, oh, no, it's just a name, it's just historical, it's just so people know what it is, it doesn't actually mean anything. We're not excluding anyone.
Blanket name.
You sort of have to call bullshit on that a little bit, because that's what it has been used for in the past.
And didn't they actually revert the name back to Mardi Gras, and then they changed it back to gay and lesbian Mardi Gras?
Yeah, so it was only Mardi Gras Sydney Mardi Gras for like a couple of years. It was like two years.
Only one year.
Was it only one?
1 year.
I believe it was one.
And then a few people
Great
got
inclusion,
about.
Guys. Oh, dear. But I suppose that's why we're here, and that's why we do our show, and that's why you're here, to help talk to us about one of the two of the forgotten letters. But I think I agree with Anthony. The I particularly is dropped very, very frequently, and I think there's been a lot more of an effort recently to try and reinstate it. But it's taking a lot of effort and fighting a kind of a willful ignorance or a willful deaf, like a willful deafening.
Jason, do you find that intersex is something that people are more likely than any of the other letters in our lovely acronym, it's the one that people are most likely to say, I don't actually know what this is?
Generally, that's part of what it is. They go, I don't know what it is, so therefore I won't include it, or I don't know why I'm including it. The thing of saying, I don't know why I won't include it or why I should include it, is because of the fact that it doesn't get talked about very much. And as
Ruby
said, if anybody wasn't watching, I was pointing, going, who the hell is she again? I'm going to write it on sweat on the table.
Just write on my forehead.
Yeah, that's Ruby Red Rose. Oh, it should say with the red thing there. What was I saying now?
So, yeah, because people don't know how to ask about it, I guess. Mm. And I wonder if that sort of not only blocks the question, but makes it difficult to even perhaps bring it up, or even maybe correct someone, or it might feel like a sort of cumbersome sort of exercise to have to constantly try to...
That, and it also means that they don't have to ask all the questions that they think may offend.
Right.
And, I mean, most of the time, I'm not offended by very many questions, so...
Right. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
And shit. I'm in trouble now. Okay, bye, people.
I get it. Bye, people. See, you just did that.
No, the thing about not being offended is really important for people to know, because I think it's the same, you know, I hear it from my trans community people, family, brothers and sisters, and also from bi people, that we would rather have people fumble through the question and ask and inquire and maybe get something wrong or misuse a language or misgender or something, as long as there's an interest in hanging around for the conversation to learn and be corrected and guided through that conversation. And I think that could feel really healing and useful for us.
Absolutely.
And there's a funny example of this from a year ago. Does everyone remember the story when Webster's Dictionary added genderqueer to the dictionary?
Yes.
And they sent out this amazing tweet that said, this is the tweet, people keep, one, saying they don't know what genderqueer means, and then, two, asking why we added it to the dictionary. And I think the same is true for intersex.
Right. Yes. Right.
I think, you know, we've actually seen dictionaries are getting very sassy on Twitter, I have noticed. There's been a few recent ones where they're, I think genderqueer has become one of the words of the year, which has been coming along as people start to recognise that more and more, and things like people who are agender or gender fluid, that's become terms that are becoming a little more mainstream. I think we're seeing the first agender character on Showcase, which also have done the L Word and Queer as Folk, so they're having a character who uses they, them pronouns. So it's a slow process, but it does seem to start to sink through. But I suppose with people who are intersex, you know, it's not as simple as, like, you know, your pronouns. Would that be right?
Right.
It is very, yeah, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of the time I'll use the term gender fluid, and then somebody will say, oh, you're just getting on the bandwagon. And for me, it's like, well, actually, you know what? It really is just finally giving you some sort of explanation. When I realised that bisexuality was actually a real thing and it explained me, I started to use that term. When polyamory was when I found out, and I didn't even know what polyamory was until I was walking through one of the parks over here one day with my ex-boyfriend, who shall forever be unnamed, I was holding his hand. I went, oh, my God, stay here if you want, but I'm running over there because I think they represent me. And then I didn't let go of his hand and I ran over there and he fell over and he was short, so I dragged him.
So that's how it happens. That's how the poly thing works.
And that's how he died. But I was like, these words were what these new words which come to us are what eventually in the end gives us the reasons or the answers to, or the explanation and a name to put to what we have always known ourselves to be.
Yeah, and I think it can help us know, like, pinning it down almost, so you're aware of this kind of a flux inside and it's hard to really understand what it is other than difference. And then you find out there's a term and it's like, oh, wait, all of those things that I'm reading, so it's not just me. It's not just me and in my head.
And then you find you have a community.
Well, if you name it to claim it.
Yes.
Yeah, and if it has
sexy.
A name.
I have a new label.
And if it has a name, for a lot of people, that makes it real and valid as well. Mm. It's like, oh, this actually pre-exists me. It predates me. That makes it real.
Yes.
Yeah, well, speaking of realness, we're going to be keeping it real when we come back after these few messages and another song, so stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass.
Bringing you more of your community. Joy 94.9.
That's right, Joy 94.9, and we're with Triple Bypass. We're here to put the B in LGBTI, and we've got the BI going on tonight. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
I'm James.
And I'm Jason.
And that's right. Jason is our guest tonight, who is both a committee member for the Bi Alliance.
Yes.
And an intersex person.
The BI.
The BI. So the official BI. More BI than any of us, and actually, when you think
Magnum
of it like
Magnum BI.
Oh, dear. I love magnums. Thus explains the weight.
I was thinking of the guns. Maybe that's just where my mind is right now. But while we were off air and listening to Sia and David Guter bang my head, we were chatting a bit about a message that's just come through. John from Essendon has texted us saying, what practical thing can I do to be more inclusive of the I and LGBTI? So I'm going to field this one very quickly over to you, Jason.
My answer to that is continue to ask questions, to jump on Google if you need to, and ask questions if Google certainly doesn't tell you what it is. And saying Google it is certainly one of the worst answers you can ever give. But one of the other things is continuing to actually add it into your acronym. I know a lot of people go, oh, then we've got to add all the other freaking numbers and letters and plus, plus, pluses. But you know what? LGBTI, if you can say that, then you've included the intersex people in there. You've done the right thing. But certainly ask questions, even if you think they're ignorant questions, because even intersex people ask ignorant questions when they're trying to figure themselves out.
And I think it seems really obvious to say this, but a lot of people forget that you ask the questions, but then take the time to really listen to the answers too. Like really, if you're going to ask, listen to.
Yeah, and don't filter it through your own perspective or how you think it should sound. Believe the person when they're sharing it, because I find I know with bisexuality anyway, that sometimes when you're explaining it, people are going, nah, come on, no.
Yeah, well, I actually think that exists across any group that, you know, is explaining their lack of privilege to a group with privilege. There's this kind of like the constant questioning of, oh, but is that really happening? It's like, no, I'm just making it up just to string you along, just like all the other thousands and millions of people who are talking about it. If you've got something you'd like to ask, you can message us on 0427JOY949. Email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can message us through the Joy app available on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy and on Twitter at Triple Bypass. We stole it from all the surgeons.
And one other little thing, that like an actual really practical thing you can do, and this is good for intersex people and also trans people and agender people and non-binary people, ask, don't make assumptions about pronouns. It's a really simple little thing you can do. It's if you, even, honestly, it's good practice even if you don't really have doubts about what somebody's, you know, gender identity might be, just to confirm. It's, you know, just to check, yeah. You know, and it's not really, not something that's insulting or anything, just to sort of go, oh, what pronouns would you like me to use for you? Mm. It's a little thing. It takes seconds to do. And if people just sort of go, oh, you know, these are my pronouns, if it's exactly what you expect, all good. Yeah. And if it's not, great thing that you asked.
Yeah.
Who would have thought asking? Wow. and also, I think that one of the things that I have done before and have not done anywhere near is enough to call myself a genuine ally, and I'd like to be, is to actually bring the conversation up around people who don't identify as intersex, so that we're not, and we talked about sort of the burden of responsibility that rests with the I's or the B's or the T's to have to explain the life experience of the I or the B or the T to others, so that they're, although that could be part of our activism, but still it sort of burdens I guess you, Jason, for having to represent every time.
So you are, that's what you're here on the show to do, I hope.
Oh, that's oh, crap. True. Oh, see, I thought I was here to represent the Bears. Was it the wrong show? Oh, no, that's cool. No, it is true, but sometimes even intersex people don't necessarily know how to answer some of the questions, especially if they don't know themselves, like some of the answers.
Well, there's more than one kind of intersex person as well, from what I have understood from my
own. Hundreds.
Yeah, so there's like
there's 42 variations.
At least,
Genotypes or some, some whiz bang, right? Things like that, something like that. I don't know.
We've got another message in for you, Jason.
Oh, good.
Who is this? Hi, everyone, for? Especially Jason. I have spent quite a few evenings at the Bi Alliance meetings learning about intersex from Jason. Great to hear you on the radio, mate. Awesome show. I am loving the discussion. Steve.
Good on you, Steve.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Do we know who this Steven is? I don't know which
Steve's
one is it.
Awesome. I love Steve.
Whisper in my ear.
I'll tell you during the next
song. Next song.
So I have another statistic. It's an intersex statistic. I heard it today, actually, so I was excited to grab
Before
hold of that.
Do this. Can I congratulate you on the fact that you can actually say this that word?
Statistic.
Statistic. Yeah.
I hate it when people say Pacific instead of specific. But anyway, that's another story. But so I heard that 1.7% of the population identify as intersex, which is the same number as people who have red hair.
Yes.
So if you know a red-headed person out in your world, you may know an intersex person as well, that they might not have disclosed that to you.
They're statistically unlikely to be the same people, but it's not impossible.
But there's certainly nothing wrong with redheads either. So, you know.
No.
When I was doing a story on Caster Semenya, who was an intersex athlete who ran in the Olympics, and I was talking about the controversy around her, we were following some of the news, and someone pointed out that there are more intersex people living in the United States than there are Jewish people.
Wow.
Nice.
Just by the fact that it is 1.7. And again, it's a huge umbrella. Like, there are so many, there's like, you know, hyperandrogyny, which is one kind. That's something that I've been told recently that I'm actually on the edge of due to levels of testosterone. And it does kind of...
Can I borrow some?
No, I need this. This is how I work out.
Sort of funny. Yeah. Right. I need it for chest hair.
You can buy it, can't you? You can do that now, right?
I mean, but it's interesting.
Because
I'm wondering if this is kind of... If I'm complicating things by saying this, but I'm wondering if the I is... And even the T are sort of inappropriately sort of lumped together with the LGB, because they are sexual orientations, the LGB, but transgender is more about
gender identity.
And identity.
Yeah.
And intersex is more about sort of biology and sex.
Well, I suppose
sexual characteristics in terms of biology.
I suppose like the whole like the genital discussion does happen, but I think that's kind of I think it's more about biological makeup and chromosomes.
Right.
From what I, again, this is just from what I've understood of it from my research. Jason, please.
Oh, sorry, there's a question now. goodness. Gender identity as opposed to or working alongside sexuality, in my opinion, it's okay to put them together because transgender folk can be heterosexual, bisexual, bi-poly, not intersex, but and intersex people can also be bi, heterosexual, straight, gay.
Can an intersex person be trans?
It's funny you should say that, because some of the intersex community are all of you listening right now, because not all of you actually accept everybody who's in the intersex community because of certain operations that some people have so that they can actually live what may be a relatively normal life with regards to everything that's happened in their life. And then they go, well, we don't accept you because now that you represent sort of one physical aspect of gender, you're now trans. And so I took on something for myself, which was actually not intersex, not trans, but it was intertrans.
I like that.
Somewhere smack in the middle.
You heard it first here, folks.
That's right. If anybody wants to follow me, I'll be skipping down Bourke Street in about half an hour.
Intertrans, look out.
We'll be right back in a second, guys. There's definitely a few more things I'd love to talk to about here, but we'll be coming back soon, so stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass with the I added the LGBTI tonight. You're on Joy.
Listen to us right around the nation. Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Triple Bypass. We're here. We're very bisexual. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
I'm James.
And tonight we're also joined by Jason.
Yes, me.
Thanks so much for joining us, Jason. We've been chatting just before the break about Jason is intersex, and we were discussing the fact that much like the B in LGBTI, the I occasionally is dropped and can be quite overlooked, but also that there can be issues within the intersex community itself as far as who gets to call themselves intersex, which I think has happened in the bi community as well. But actually, during the break, we did get an email in from Bradley Remond, who was saying that he says that he believes that given that Mardi Gras has always been called gay and lesbian Mardi Gras, he has no issue with the BTIQ not being part of the title, as we do need to talk about the origins of Mardi Gras. They also said that just because you weren't covered on the SBS show doesn't mean that we're forgotten. In fact, he asked if we do anything to stand out from the crowd to get the limelight.
And Jason, you said we were there standing out. We were waving our purple colours.
They were on little biplanes.
That's right. Which
was quite cool.
But apparently that didn't quite make SBS. But James was looking up recently and SBS had made a point of talking about including bisexuality.
Yeah, one of their web pages about it said that they were talking about some of the lesser known or less talked about parts of the LGBTI rainbow, and they specifically called out bisexuality. And then for some reason, it didn't seem to make the broadcast, which is a bit sad.
I did see one small skit of a personal story of someone who was bisexual.
Oh, there you go.
And then. What was her name again, the celebrity that we talked about?
Julia.
Yes,
Julia Zmiro.
She is bisexual.
Yes, she is.
It is official.
She's one of us.
I saw her say that on Mardi Gras.
I'm very excited.
She's ours. She's one of us.
She's ours. One of us.
But getting back to the history of it, though, there is one of the things. This is one of the reflex things that just sort of pops out whenever anyone talks about this sort of stuff, is that there's somebody who's known as the mother of pride. Her name was Brenda Howard.
Now, James, was she a lesbian?
No, she was not a lesbian, Ruby.
Shock. How did she identify, James?
She identified as bisexual, strangely enough.
My gosh. Do you mean that pride was started by a bisexual woman?
She was certainly a big part of it. She's somebody who
she
was important enough to the movement to be referred to as the mother of pride. She was present at the Stonewall riots. She was present at the birth of pride, and she was such a pivotal figure that she's known as the mother of pride.
And I think it is always dangerous when I always get that little tingle up my back of my neck that when I hear someone say we shouldn't do that because traditionally it has been this. Traditionally people are not kind to LGBTI people. Yes. Traditionally we got stoned, and not the fun kind, the biblical kind with rocks. So I think when someone tells me that, well, we shouldn't change it because it's tradition, I always start to feel a little concerned, because I feel if that's, you know, we can look at our traditions and still make efforts to acknowledge that we have come and moved forward. You know, that's the same argument as, like, you know, I'm putting up air quotes, traditional marriage. Mm-hmm. That's literally the argument that we've been fighting against in Parliament.
And as somebody who studied formal logic at university, I happen to know that there's a fallacy called the appeal to tradition.
Right.
It's a fallacy.
Right.
So we can now sell our daughters off for a couple of goats and a glass of water, yeah?
Yep. And two sheaves of wheat.
And we can own Indonesians.
Ooh,
as slaves.
I like sheaths. Actually, no, I'm not. No. Not into sheathing.
Oh, we can own New Zealanders as slaves too. We can only own people as slaves if they come from neighbouring countries.
But I wonder about it. I wonder about intersex, Jason. So if bisexual people were choosing not to identify back when Pride started, when it was a protest and not a celebration as we see today, where it was really about life and death for some people and survival, it might have made more sense not to perhaps come out as bisexual and stay with the in-group and not be ostracised in this, well, probably one space you feel safe in.
But it sounds like people were out about being bisexual at the beginning of Pride.
Right.
So I sometimes, from the reading I've been doing about bisexuality, there has been a kind of a conservatisation of the queer movement that has come about as we have kind of become more mainstream and more acceptable, or at least sections of us have become more acceptable, where the attempt to cling on to that kind of straightening of us, like, you know, it's the same argument people have with marriage, you know. We're not queerifying marriage. Marriage is straightening us. We're kind of folding ourselves into quite heteronormative boxes in an attempt to fit in.
Yeah, bisexuals are very inconvenient when people are talking about marriage equality.
Well, we kind of straddle a few. We kind of straddle between, like, you know, the gender worlds. And Jason, I've been wanting to ask this all night. As someone who is intersex and kind of considered on a very basic term to be, you know, of more than once, like, more than one gender already, how do you feel that bisexuality plays into that, when bisexuality itself is moving beyond gender when it comes to attraction?
Oh, I thought you were just about to ask me about marriage, and I was going to say, do you realise that this whole same-sex marriage thing actually isn't going to apply to me, because I have both genders on my birth certificate, which means I'm pretty screwed. So you, like, can get married to the same-sex people if you like, but apparently I still can't.
But you can get married to yourself.
I've been doing traditional marriage to myself for the last... Yeah.
Is that what therapists...
Can we talk about a logical fallacy? Yeah.
Is that what they call... In therapy, they call true love, when you find love for yourself?
Yeah, but it costs a fair whack of money. I had to import most of my love from England. Anyway, and thank you to the wonderful guys at Manhouse for that.
No, so not... But not married. Not married.
Sorry, what was the question?
Basically, we're talking about bisexuals make things uncomfortable because we do kind of... by the mere presence of existing, kind of break down the idea of boxing gender.
We're a complicating factor.
We're a complicating factor, as are people who are intersex, in that, you know, we kind of remind that gender is never just, it's this or that. It's not male or female.
It's somewhere in between, yeah.
And it's not as a controlling factor as maybe we've made to feel it is. Do you feel that the kind of the combination of the two, like, how does that play out for you? Does it give you a better understanding of other parts of yourself?
For me, and I can only speak for me, I haven't really had too much of an issue, because I am vocal about who I am and how I identify. For me, being vocal about things is actually important. And so I can be squeaky and I can show... What is the word I'm thinking here? Like, if I'm squeaky and I'm constantly talking about it, I'm gaining recognition. And so I don't tend to find a lot of problems with that.
You're sort of the personification of the squeaky wheel.
I know.
In a very good way, and I mean that.
Is that because I'm short with funny ears?
Play sound effects, squeaky wheel.
Because, I can't do it.
Because Jason always comes along. Jason always comes along to things.
Just like somebody's bed from behind me where I was staying over the weekend.
Anyway, but so, Jason's always coming along and telling stories about their experiences, like pushing different ideas of what bears are in Vic Bears and challenging people's expectations and stereotypes, which I think is
you
awesome.
Only know
you're
I do
fighting.
That to see if I could make some heads explode. I do the same thing when I go to McDonald's
fronts.
And I say, can I please have a cheeseburger but hold the cheese? And when they go, so you really want a hamburger? I say, no, I like the gold wrapping.
Yeah. But I personally feel like growing acceptance and understanding of intersex, I think it's actually really good for the trans community. I think there's a natural match there, because people who sort of can't get their head around the idea that, you know, somebody might identify, like they might be physically, you know, completely unambiguously one sex, but they know that they aren't. It's like, if you say, well, there are people who physically aren't, and they, you know, physically their bodies are ambiguous to some degree or another. So doesn't it make sense then that maybe the body doesn't seem ambiguous, but the brain doesn't match? Isn't that just a logical extension?
Sometimes that can happen, but then again, I haven't seen too many brains that actually match people that look smart.
Yes, incongruence.
I feel like
happens.
My brain's kind of melting out my ears after that. Yeah. No offense, James. No. I'm just trying very hard to keep up with that.
I think part of the thing is you've got to ask questions, though. Mm. If you don't understand something, you should always ask. And even if that person can't answer it, they can just say, well, in my opinion or in my life, this is what's happened.
Yeah, and really thinking about that and taking that on board to think about what's happened in your life as an intersex person. And I know there's lots of other parts of your identity, not just being intersex, but we talked about bi fury last week, and I think about intersex fury and sort of and how incredibly challenging the struggle must feel just to be recognized and taken seriously. With the B, we've sort of done that work. It hasn't finished, but we're very much in that work. And I feel a sense of responsibility not to sort of forget that the eyes are sort of standing beside us.
It's not just the eyes' responsibility to do it. It's all of your responsibility out there. All your listeners, like, I mean, if you're out there and you just see here LGBT, put your foot down and say, you know, you forgot it later. You forgot the A as well. You forgot the plus. You forgot the Q. You tell people what they've forgotten, because it's really important.
Yeah, and it generally, from what I would understand, a lot of the time, it's just a case of forgetting. Mm. And I think that becomes with visibility and actually, you know, recognizing. But for a group to become visible, there has to be a space for them to come into. But I think we'll hold on that conversation for after this next break. We've got some David Bowie, so stay tuned, guys. We'll be right back. You're listening to Joy.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd.
Nelson Aspin here with
Joy,
Hot or Not.
94.9.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Triple Bypass. We are the bisexuality show here on Joy, and I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
I'm James.
And tonight we're joined by Jason.
Hi.
Hey, Jason. We got a message during that song, which was David Bowie's I'm So Lonely. You feel so lonely, you could die. And this is from Jade. Jade is one of our regulars, and it's great to hear from you, Jade. She said, hey, super bis. Heteronormativity or homonormativity. As a bisexual, I know my place in the matrix of domination, sometimes known as the patriarchy. Real queers, queer as in social justice, raise the voices of those less heard, not silence them. Thank you for giving voice to intersex. Human diversity is a beautiful thing. Cheers, Jade.
Join you, Jade.
Oh, thanks, Jade.
Isn't that a good point?
Yeah.
A sense of responsibility around that too, to look after each other.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we were talking about this during that song. Community is a life-saving thing for people who do still constantly face rejection and stigmatization by society, by our laws, and by the way we're spoken about publicly by leaders, whether they're religious or political or any other celebrity. So this idea that within our communities that there is still this rejection of some groups, like that rejection for me has always felt harder to bear, because I expect it from heterosexual people. In a way, like, you know, you kind of understand that they probably don't get it because they have had no exposure to it. But when you're in the community that you have been told is your place and should be your family, and you feel that parts of yourself make them unhappy and uncomfortable and that they wish they didn't exist, it is compounding on the insecurity, which tends to lead to, you know, on a scientific level, it leads to preventing help-seeking behaviours. It leads to loneliness. It leads to isolation, and it leads to silence, which helps compound invisibility.
And yeah, betrayal is a word that comes up for me. I feel an enormous sense of betrayal.
Yes.
It's like, you know, being heckled while walking down the street at Pride March. I mean, that's right. Something that's happened to me, and to people that are very dear to me, and that's a bit messed up, really.
It is. It's really messed up. It's messed up that people who people who are intersex have to listen to their letter be dropped constantly to hear their voices erased. That's why it's so great to have you here, Jason, to give that voice and broadcast it as you will, and you guys can check it out later as well.
Is it a good radio voice? Just saying.
Oh yeah,
no idea. All right,
cool. I'm picking up some pretty decent radio vibes here.
Jason,
that's the testosterone from last week.
We've tapped on some pretty heavy emotional responses to exclusion, and I'm just wondering, Jason, for you. I mean, does it feel like a blow as the way we've sort of described? We've used some of that language and emotional responses, like betrayal and hurt and.
No, it brings up what I've often, what I've felt in the past, but my presence within my community, the communities that I, and the pies that I stick my fingers in, oh gosh, I've stuck my fingers in the community. Sorry about that, guys, girls.
It's all right, we're on after nine, it's all good.
So my inclusion of those, being as part of those groups and pushing myself into those groups and incorporating myself into those groups, whether it be Victoria Leather or the leather community with the lead, with Vic Bears, who are pretty much exclusively male.
I was going to say, the lead is, like, they don't allow women in the venue.
99% of the time they don't.
Northside Bazaar.
And Northside Bazaar and some other great, brilliant things that they have during the year. It's becoming more and more inclusive and more accepting, and of people who are more gender diverse within the community. So trans guys will go to the lead now, and I go to the lead a lot now, but sometimes I still find that it could be just because of how you present, because I present fairly well as a guy. I mean, I'm sporting a level 20 beard now.
White, magnificent.
I know, it feels a bit
wizardly.
Well, it's not that long yet, but I can whisk it.
I'm a musketeer at the moment, I feel.
That's the dye job. It's normally grey. And apparently I can grow a better beard than James.
But
so,
one of the things that's come up in the stuff that I've read also is that the fear of rejection can actually be as unhealthy for somebody as the rejection itself.
Right.
Is that something you found?
I used to drive past the lead so many times, and it took me a number of years to go in there. And it wasn't until one of the guys that was standing out the front of the lead, this also happened at Club 80, but the guy standing out the front of the lead said, "Do you want to come in?" And I went, "Yeah, but I don't know if I'm actually allowed in there."
Yeah.
And I didn't know why, but I just didn't feel, because I'm looking at the different types of guys that were going there. They were big, they were muscly, they were hairy, they were everything.
Wearing a lot
of
leather.
Well, not only that, but they were just like the masculine. And I was like, I was in a pair of blue overalls with white and blue striped bib thing.
Oh,
and
cute.
I know. That's the reason why in Adelaide they always call me the Milky Bar Kid. But, you know, and I'll hold on to that forever. But it took me a long time before I could actually go in there and say, "Well, okay, I feel like I belong here." And now I walk in there and most people know who I am. So it's a good thing.
Mm. Thank you
very
much.
And I volunteer with them.
That. Yeah. I had a similar experience with Joy. This is actually, I had never marched at Pride. I'd never really been a part of a community or the queer community, because I felt I'd been told by gay and straight people that bisexuality either doesn't exist, it's either a phase, it's a plea for attention, or you can't trust them. So, and I think we've all got, and I think most bisexual people have felt similar things, where it does kind of make you feel that you have to hide parts of yourself. And the anxiety that provokes is actually just really bad for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's physically bad for
you.
It causes heart problems. You know, it causes indigestion. It causes all these issues. And, you know, people go to a community to feel accepted. It's very important for humans. We're pack animals. We need to feel connected and feel like we belong.
Yes. Yeah, and it's in our interest to also support our allies who continue to support us in our cause. So I want to acknowledge Andy Mack, our former producer, for organising this show and giving the bee a voice here at Joy. Mm. And also Chris Tate, the program manager, who's right behind us. Thanks to our allies. Let's get behind the eyes.
Yes.
Amen. Now, I've just got... coming up next is Miss Chatelaine with Katie Purvis and a Port Fairy Folk Festival preview, which is pretty cool. I love me some folk music. And we also just got a message in. If you feel so strongly about the Forgotten Letters of the Rainbow Soup, perhaps you need to enter Pride and our local representative in the organisations. InterPride are the body that basically most Pride marches around the world are aligned to. My understanding is that they base the organisation around sexuality rather than gender. As such, the transsexual and intersex community actually fall outside the umbrella that International Pride officially represent. It's not to say the member of the organisation exclude these groups from the likes of Melbourne's Pride March, but it can explain things like why they might not be mentioned. Well, that doesn't explain the bisexuality, though, does it? That's okay, though. We'll come back to that, because you can't forget us, because we're on the radio. Yeah. We'll be back here next week at 9. This has been Triple Bypass. Thank you so much for joining us, Jason.
Thanks,
I'm
Ruby.
Okay. I'm James.
I'm Anthony.
Hang around for Miss Chatelaine. This has been Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.